Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. Today's short is brought to you by Fred Schenkelberger. One of the things I found in my career comes up over and over and over again is something I learned when working at Hewlett-Packard in a conversation with Dick Moss. I was trying to understand, how do we get the best information back to the design teams so that we could create a better product right from the design? It was really, I was starting to get a handle on and have a role as a design for reliability engineer. And so Dick's advice has stuck with me through the years. He said, you need to understand the failure mechanism. I said, something like FMEA? He goes, no, not the failure modes, not the symptoms that the customer would see, the mechanism. I said, what do you mean? And he said, the physics and chemistry, the actual underlying phenomena that manifests itself as something that we consider a failure, what we would call a failure mode, a symptom. It doesn't power up. That's a symptom of a failure with the manifestation of it. But is it because it's not plugged in? Is it a broken wire? Is it a faulty capacitor on a power supply? Or is it some other reason that this unit is not powering on? Let's say it's a capacitor. Is it because the capacitor is missing? It's the wrong one. It's worn out. It's vented. It's damaged somehow. It was installed in a wrong way. What specifically happened there? Right. The mechanism is the chemistry and physics of what's going on. Right. In software, it's what's the code? What's the bug? What's the underlying, not the symptom of the bug, but what's the fault in the code that led to that phenomena to occur? And then I keep finding where that is such an important concept. The other day I was asked about creating a reliability test plan. I says, well, how's your product fail? Well, I don't know. We want to do the testing to find out. Well, what are you planning on doing? Well, we're going to put it in environmental chamber and dust and debris, and we're going to do shock, and we're going to drop it, and we're going to enlist all these different stresses. And I was like, well, is that going to answer the question of what's going to fail? And we went on in that conversation. If we knew or suspected what would fail, we could focus the testing to answer those questions. If we knew that it was a wear phenomena on some component, years ago I worked on a tape drive, a memory device that used tape, and the glass fret that was over the top of the read-write head had to have a certain dimension to hold the tape a specific distance from the active elements that read and or wrote to the tape. But as the tape went over it, it wore down that glass. The dimensions actually changed. And so we knew that so many feet of tape traveling over it would equate to such a degradation in that distance, the wearing of that distance. But we also knew very fundamentally how the tape's rough surface interacted with the glass and the amount of pressure that was involved and so on. We knew this in great detail, and it allowed us to have a very accurate model of the life of that particular component. That's what I mean by failure mechanism. Can you describe it in detail at a fundamental level such that you can control it or reproduce it or design a optimized way to use that particular component, even though we know it's going to fail? How can we make that failure delayed long enough to have a useful product? If we're going to design an accelerated life test, I could just put it in a chamber and do thermal cycling. If the failure mechanism has no response to thermal cycling, it would be of little use to run that test. We could run for years and years and years, and we wouldn't see any relevant failures. But if it was known that it was a metal fatigue due to difference in thermal coefficients of expansion, then thermal cycling would make a lot of sense. But it's only when we understand the failure mechanism that we can design an accelerated test, that we can look for solutions to the problem. So if you're doing failure analysis, understand the mechanism. If you're trying to determine whether a vendor has done the appropriate test, if we don't know how it's going to fail, we have really little information to work from to know if that litany of tests they're running are relevant or not. Or do they just pick the tests and publish the ones that they could pass, which may or may not have anything to do with how their product works or doesn't work. So over and over, I've come back to that it's the understanding of the failure mechanism. One, it's curiosity on my part that drives me to do that. And it's fun investigating those things. But it's pivotal in doing so many things that we do in reliability engineering well, is that it's highly related to how well we understand the failure mechanism. So I hope that makes sense. And go find something interesting about how your product fails, but drive it down to a fundamental understanding of the mechanism. Then, at least it's in my experience, then you can do something about it. Thank you for listening to today's Speaking of Reliability short. We look forward to hearing your stories. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. And let us know what's been pivotal in your career. What have you learned that has made a difference?